Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, April 16th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Intern Capital. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best you say, that's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, interactive punk podcast with Rebel DeFi and Tau. Let's take a listen.
Hi guys, Rebel DeFi here. I hope you are well. I can see that Finn has changed his profile pic.
Hey, what's up, my dude?
How are you doing? Your mic sounds on my end very muffled. I don't know if that's my problem or yours.
All right, let me switch my mic up.
Got Dan in here as well. I don't know if Finn is listening or if he's just turned us on. If you wanted to say hi and tell us how many of these intern NFTs have been sold, that'd be cool. Hi, Dan. Hi, Sidner. Hope you're doing well.
All right. I think I got my shit sorted.
There you go. That sounds miles better. All right. I don't know what that was, but...
Okay. I was trying on a new mic, but I guess it wasn't meant to be.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, unfortunately not. Or maybe you just got to change some sort of setting or something.
No, it was just like a... It was like a Bluetooth headset instead of like just the wired one that I have now.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, well, cool. You started space. Here's Dan. How you doing, Dan? I like your... Steak Punk, PFP. Yeah, good man. Good.
Dude, I am so torn between punks and intern NFTs. I don't know which one to put on.
So, listen, I buy other NFTs, but there's only one for me. Only one.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, it's like, the interns are my home, but then the punks are my love. So, you know.
Because you do stuff. Are you in that Intern Capital group?
Well, I just hang out, to be honest with you. I don't really do much. I'm like the intern that's useless, but they keep around because he's, they feel pity for him.
Cool, but do you transcribe TerraSpaces or something like that?
No, that's mostly V. What I do is when I have time and plus when I have interest, is I'll write up like a Twitter thread to summarize one of the spaces that's got recorded by Finn. So it's usually like a 5 to 10 tweet a thread that just summarizes whatever that particular space that he recorded.
Nice. Maybe tag me, and I've never seen one, or I'll just need to keep an eye out. Send me a message next time you do one so I can see it.
Okay,
I haven't noticed them on my Twitter.
No, I did one for a White Whales community call a week ago. Okay. I used to do them a whole lot more frequently, but recently I've just been... I took on the research side of the Luna Laws videos, so that kind of took up a lot of my time.
Yeah, so that's good that you and Edwin are doing that collaboration.
Yeah, I see people are trickling in slowly. Hey, Syndrome, how are you, buddy? Welcome over.
Yeah, I just wanted to pop in and say hello. And also, yes, your mic. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be rude, but you are muffled like the entire time in our space.
Okay.
You sound very different now that I can hear your actual, like, the quality of your voice, the intonation, all that stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, this is a world of difference, man. So whatever mic you have.
All right. Yeah, I just turned out a new thing today. All right. Well, I'm going to put that one on the back in the trash can.
Sometimes, yes, you know, you just got to be cruel to be kind. Tell them straight up.
not in my own space. We were trying to plow ahead, but I was just, oh man, as soon as you changed it, I went, oh my gosh, this is different.
Right. Oh, Sinnor, so Rebel, Sinnor is, okay, so I don't want to use this term in a derogatory way, but like in a very accurate and descriptive way, but like he's a Cardano head. And he knows all that there is to know about Cardano. But I was chatting with him earlier today because they were looking into Terra, and like, you know, just keeping an open mind, kind of like how we kind of get like wrapped up in our own Terra ecosystem. But then every now and then, it's okay to go out and listen to another ecosystem's Twitter space or whatever, and like, you know, get perspective again, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more than that. What we're trying to do, we're starting an initiative where we have some, hopefully some regular occurrence where we educate whoever's in our space about a different blockchain, hopefully one that the community has asked for, or that a number of another community has volunteered to participate in. And then to include those members of the community, like really the focus is like the education part's just a preface to getting the other people from the other chain talking to the people on our chain, and so like that. That's the idea, cross-chain collaboration, like actually fostering that.
Cool. Yeah, well, I think we are all keen on a bit of collaboration cross-chain. I used to be a Cardano holder, and I was waiting. Is it Sunday Swap? Has that started? Has that kicked off yet?
Yeah, Sunday is as active. It was the first one to really make waves, and even Charles kind of buddied up with them for a little while. But it's kind of developing slowly, in my opinion. There's going to be plenty of time for these other DEXs to kind of catch up, and we're already kind of seeing a lot of innovation in the space. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. So I've not followed up with Cardano for a while, but smart contracts a thing now?
Dear God, yes, yes. they are smart contracts. We actually have smart contracts. That's the joke. We also have NFTs, if you haven't heard, and including our own like cryptos. Everyone's got them, right? And then we are facing Hydra. We're going to have a Vaso, not Basho. It's another V, like Vaso or something, hard fork coming. And with that hard fork will come Hydra and just exponential growth, I assume, at some point. But that hard fork is pretty meaningful because there's a lot of things that have been contingent upon it and whatever else IOHK is supposed to be doing besides Hydra or the implications of Hydra. So we have so many projects that like they're ready. Like they're up and ready, and yet they're just not able to work together to go to the next level, right? So, for instance, we have an on-chain Oracle called Charlie, and it's got a fantastic team, and it's like literally ready to go, but nobody's ready to use it. So it's a crazy thing, but that should change within the next couple of months. And when it does, yeah, hopefully we'll start to reach more of the potential that, you know, everyone on the chain is seeing in the chain. So that's where we're at.
Cool. I mean, we had something called a Columbus 5 upgrade it's almost 6 months ago, I suppose, now. And we thought that.
September, I think?
Yeah, maybe more than 6 months then. We thought that as soon as that went through, we'd have this massive explosion of like new dApps coming out. And it was a bit of a letdown. But then.
Yeah, we're all careful about that. We're careful about that. But I mean, in all honesty, like as slow as Cardano is, anything's going to look fast, right?
Right. Hey, Dan, welcome up, my friend. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you there.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say hi to Dan and then see what he's got on his mind.
Hey, glad to be here. Now, I just jumped on because
got looped into the fractionalized GPID, and I thought that's a really cool thing. And it's funny enough, you know, I'm actually enrolled in this blockchain course right now at UPenn, and like we just went through a case study on PartyDAO, which was like all about fractionalized NFTs and that whole thing. So the timing is, mm-hmm. is pretty interesting, and it seems like it's the need maybe is not quite there yet, because you know Terra NFT floor prices aren't like insane like ETH quite yet, but
right,
you know, fingers crossed if the trajectory is as we hope, it could become a need in the future. And I think this is an interesting test case. And then you know, I was talking to Rebel about, you know, this could potentially become some kind of product or offering down the road.
Right. So the PartyDAO is with the nouns, right? Like the one NFT per day?
So what I know, PartyDAO created a product called PartyBid, and it allows just multiple individuals to kind of pool funds together and then bid on ETH NFT auctions. I'm not sure exactly about the noun one per day kind of thing, but they leveraged another platform called Fractional, which mm-hmm. I think I'm still learning through all of this, but it sounds like it allows you to mint tokens that represent a fraction of an NFT. So it all makes sense, you know, at a high level. Obviously the implementation is probably a lot more complicated, but you know, something like that could work for us too.
Okay. All right. Cool. Sidnor, what's got?
So I'm kind of curious, as far as the fractionalized NFTs, how exactly does that work if it comes time to sell the NFT? Like, do you sell your fraction? And so does it keep the power of what you want to do in the individual's hands? Or if they want to sell the NFT as a DAO, like the majority of the holders who own a fraction of that NFT get to say?
Dan, maybe you can correct me, but I guess I can set it off a little bit. So the way I'm tracking it is it depends on the contract that sets up the fractions. So like it can be just a centralized contract where you trust one or five people with a multi-sig, and then everybody puts in, let's say, like one Luna, and then you have 60 Luna together. Then you go buy out a punk from the floor at 60 Luna, right? Or you can have a proper smart contract, and then what you can do is have that smart contract buy you the punk, and then in return mint like a token, like any other token, like UST or like a Cardano token, even, right? Any token that represents a share of that pool. So like you can say, if you bought in with one Luna, then you'll get one token, and then every Luna on top of that will get you more tokens. So if you bought in with 1.5 Luna, then when the contract goes out and buys the floor punk, it'll lock the floor punk up, and then you will get the fractional representation in the form of a new token, and that token will be like, you'll get 1.5 tokens, right? So when it comes time to sell, you can just sell your token. If there's a liquidity pool, you can trade it with another person, like on a peer-to-peer basis, or then you can all kind of come together, return your tokens to the smart contract, and then the smart contract will go and return the punk onto the open sale to sell the punk.
That latter version is the one that is so interesting to me, because it's like, in reality, if it operated that way, it would only take one person holding one fractionalized token to hold the whole thing hostage, right?
To hold the whole thing hostage from selling it, you're right. And I wonder, like, if you could just write, or if they do write a little provision, because some tokens are going to get lost along the way too, right? So, and then there's dust as you transfer tokens. So I wonder if, like, they write you only need 90% of the tokens present to liquidate the underlying NFT, right? And then one of the other ideas is like that I came across is like you can have a pool, and in that pool you can have more than one punk, and then you can still have your token represent like one token represent one Luna in this case, right? So everybody can like either deposit one Luna and get themselves one a new token, And then when that Luna becomes enough to buy a floor punk, it'll buy a floor punk, right? But then somebody can come in and say, hey, the contract would then determine as well, like, if this punk is floor price is XYZ, then if somebody can collect enough of the fractional tokens, we'll put a punk up for sale. That's the equivalent of like that floor price, right? So you can arbitrage both ways. So your fractional tokens represent a certain value, but if your fractional tokens are too cheap versus the floor price of a punk, someone can just buy them all and then sell one of the punks from the pool. Or vice versa, if your fractional tokens are way high up versus the floor price of a punk, someone can buy a floor punk, deposit it into the contract, and then sell a bunch of fractional tokens to make a profit.
So, see, this is my concern. So, full disclosure, I participate mm-hmm. in what we call an investment club on the Cardano blockchain at this time. They refuse to say DAO on this particular one.
Okay.
My concern about that, like, I like the idea of, in principle, of having a fraction of an NFT I'm personally interested in, right? Like, if we were voting, that would be my, I'd right. be voting to buy this, right? But on the other hand, it really feels dicey to me that somebody could be like, okay, I've got that fraction. And then if they go away for a while, miss this action of somebody selling the NFT that corresponds to the fraction that's in their wallet, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, they have this ownership, they have this sense of confidence that they have a piece of the pie, and walk away. And like, while they're gone, the pie gets sold.
Well, right. So that's all within the setup, right? That's just logistics. So you can buy, let's say you buy a Cardano NFT. Sorry, I don't know anyone off the top of my head, but let's say you buy a NFT XYZ, and then
an expensive one would be a space bud or a clay.
Okay, a clay. All right. So you buy a clay, and then it was worth, I don't know, let's say a hundred ADA, right? So you and like five friends come together and put in whatever ADA you account to, and then you can put it in a multisig, and that multisig, it can be like a 3 of 5. So as long as three people agree on the action, you can sign that transaction and then go away with it. That's majority rules right there, right? So then you're not, what do you call it, open to that hostage situation of one person. You still need majority, so you still have that democracy there. But you're also mitigating the one person out of the four who wants to not sell.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, with the example that we have now with, say, 10 holders,
mm-hmm.
it would be easier to do. You know, it may get complicated if you start to fractionalize into like a larger number of pieces. But that's my thinking too. Like, have that multi-sig be a way to ensure like that, yeah, if you do have somebody who just kind of goes off radar, you're not stuck with the hostage situation. But I mean, I think these are all really good questions. That's sort of where my head was kind of going at first, is like, what's the exit liquidity look like, and how do you manage that? But I think, as you mentioned, it's all up in the contract structure. And I think, you know, for us, it's kind of easy since we're buying a floor priced item. Perhaps it's like down the road, if you're trying to sell your fractional piece without the collective group selling the actual underlying asset, you could sort of fair market value it as being that percentage of the current floor price for that item. Or we could, you know, use like a quote unquote Oracle type of arrangement, and you know, like Flipside Crypto has that tool where they give that fair market value that could be used as a potential valuation point.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Right. Rebel, like, this particular one is your baby. I think you're like the guy who put it all together, the recent fractional punk that were started this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying fractionalized. It's not really. I mean, it's just a group of friends got together, and I mean, I'm quite keen to actually set up some sort of investment DAO. So I'm thinking, right, I want to get the ball rolling. So initially, and plus, there's a lot of alpha coming out surrounding Galactic Punks soon.
Right.
Therefore, having more Galactic Punks is never a bad idea, especially at the moment. I can see the floor price like climbing higher over the next few months with the news that's going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. So, and plus, literally the cheapest punk, I was like, well, I'll just buy it myself. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I looked at, there's what's one of the, I think it's Flipside Crypto, I've got an NFT deal score.
Right.
And it seemed to suggest the price of this floor punk should be at least like 25 Luna higher. I thought, well, that just represents a good deal.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Karma was maybe going to come on and tell us some of the exciting stuff that's happening in punks. I don't know how much I'm allowed to sort of say and not say, but there will be a new proposal coming up for DAO voting on in the Galactic DAO this week, which should have a knock-on effect on floor prices of punks, right. I'd imagine. So the idea behind this punk was, I've got some friends who've got lots of NFTs, and I've got some friends who are keen to get a punk, although they don't currently hold one. So I thought it would maybe make sense for us all kind of just to make a group. We each put a little bit of Luna in, mm-hmm. and so there's basically 10 of us. We put in 6 Luna each, and now between us, we've got a tenth of a punk each.
Right.
Which is kind of nice.
So I got a question for you. Sorry to cut you
short. Sure.
But like, you obviously have a full punk, but the other 10 people, do they all have a full punk, or like some of them are just fractional owners and that's the only punk exposure they have?
Okay. So, I mean, at the moment, everyone sent me their money or me their loot.
Right.
And I have got the punk. I mean, I could rug them. I could run off and...
No, that's not where I'm going. No, I'm saying like, do they own any individual punks?
Well, I mean, Dan is involved with this. He has got his own punks. I don't know how many he's got, but I can certainly see he's got at least one. Other people have multiple. Other people had literally this is their only punk exposure. And that was kind of part of it, because are sort of friends, and therefore I was hoping that to sort of help them get some exposure to punks. So I think it's kind of... It's a nice little thing to sort of try, a little experiment. And mm-hmm. hopefully it's going to be... Well, I mean, we've not really discussed what our plan is. Are we going to stake this punk and try and get some staking rewards?
Oh, that's personally complicated now. How are you going to split those staking rewards, right?
Of course, I mean, at the moment, I don't think they'll be worth very much if we were to sell them. But, I mean, that's one thing. But staking the punk is going to have another benefit outside of staking rewards. And this is the project that the Galactic Punk team have been working on for months. I suppose it's not really a secret. Mm-hmm. Spaceships.
Right.
Staking a punk for long term is going to be beneficial to anyone who's doing that with regards to getting hold of a spaceship.
Ah.
So therefore, if we stake this punk that we each have a share in,
mm-hmm.
in the coming months, that will allow us to grow our investment in the sense of we will receive a spaceship. Whether right. that's at a reduced price or at no price is not 100% clear at the moment, but
right.
by staking this punk, that will give us the best access to getting a spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay,
and I think that's epic. So anyone who is staking punks just now, it's going to be a one-to-one relationship. So if you've got a wallet that's got multiple punks, don't worry and think you're only going to get one spaceship. You will get a spaceship per punk. So you don't have to split your punks up into loads of different wallets. And I find this really, really exciting.
All right. Well, we got to get Sidnor in here. He's been holding his hand up. I think his shoulders are getting tired.
Well, I was just wondering, in a situation like that, what different situations would constitute a rug? Do you mean only like just cutting and running and being like, hey, see ya, you'll never see me again? Or do you mean making decisions without full group consensus? Like, what do you mean by rug?
I mean, I was thinking initially just me running off with the punk and then people are never going to hear from me again. I'm not going to do that. So Dan, don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. But that's a fair point, though. Making decisions without everyone's agreement, without consensus. So I mean, this is what we definitely do need to discuss, because we haven't established, because this is not run by smart contract. That's definitely something we're going to have to sort of nail down. But I would say by simple majority. If a simple majority say we want to sell it, then we'll probably have to sell it. Unless we decide as a group, no, the ratio we want to go for is 7 out of 10. So it's definitely, we're going to have some group chats about this to work out exactly how we're going to run it.
I mean, that's what's interesting about it. And that's why I'm like super into this conversation, because technically what you did was form a little DAO, right? You said we were all in together, but you know each other, you trust each other, or at least like there's a close enough degree of acquaintance that you feel a sense of security, right? That wouldn't happen. But as you get into like a bigger and bigger body of people, it's the true nature of decentralization, right? You don't really know everybody. It's supposed to be, quote, trustless, end quote. And something that's like you can be confident in without those principles of trust. And so it fascinates me, because like the current concern that I'm facing in the investment group that I'm in is that you can't seem to account for every situation, right? Like in the olden days, an NFT was like just this JPEG. You could right click, save. You got exactly what you'd get if you paid the money for it, in a sense. But that's not how it is anymore. Like there's this expectation that a lot of NFTs will have secondary utility. They will have a roadmap that does a lot of other things. And often your initial investment in an NFT is going to lead to other things. So for instance, in the Cardano, on the Cardano blockchain, we have this Claymates phenomenon going on where Snoop Dogg came in, partnered up and released Baked Nation, and they worked with Good Charlotte. They've got all these like celebrity people or pop culture icons coming in, and your way to get into those new projects, or at least have a much better weighted chance, is to already be a pre-existing owner of Clays. Well, there's all this debate now in the club. Do we even get on the whitelist if we get drawn by the random number generator for X amount of plots? Do we buy them? Do we buy them all? How do we buy them? Do we liquidate another asset, or do we liquidate the pre-existing Clay asset that got us entitled to the whitelist in the first place? When do we sell those assets as soon as we get them? There's people yelling about the best time to flip is right in the middle of the mint. We have so many things suddenly going on that we did not account for. And I just got in. So when I say we, I mean, I really mean the people that were my predecessors, didn't account for, and they're having to adapt on the fly. I don't know how much of that can be accounted for in like a fractionalized DAO where you own just a piece of the NFT.
Exactly. I mean, how many people do you have in your group?
I'd have to go look at the Discord. Hundreds right now. I think maybe thousands. It depends, because the way this works is it's the Secret Goat Society. It's a spinoff of the Goat Tribe NFT. And you buy either a Secret Goat Society token or an Elder Secret Goat Society token, which is just like a higher level and costs more, higher buy-in, that kind of thing. It's weighted a little more. And those things are weighted towards voting. We have voting within the Discord. And there's like levels to voting, and it's just been reorganized. They literally just released the white paper today after being in operation for a while and having more of a loose, informal governance structure. So I don't know exactly how many people are holding at least one, because we've also had a slight issue with Discord showing everyone's roles, but there's some people that own just one. There's some people who own many. And so, of course, their voting power is—it's not capped. If you go beyond a certain level, there's no maximum where they say you can only have up to this many votes.
So, therefore, some whale could come in and essentially buy the DAO, or buy enough shares to control what's going on.
Yeah, I think in theory that's absolutely possible. I don't see it in practice necessarily happening, but then again, like. That's the point, right? Would I see it? I'll say to that, I bought enough to have a full set, because there's different tokens, and as a collector, you can grab each one and have a full set, and then you're entitled to some additional tokens. that you can only get that way to drive up the price and the desirability of the actual governance tokens as NFTs. But the transparency of how things are going was where I had a problem. Like when I showed up, I said, well, I should be, they publish, they archive all of their proposals and their votes and stuff, allegedly. But then as I started to audit that, I went through those archives. Sometimes I'd find the proposal, sometimes I'd find the vote, and I couldn't link the two. There were all these problems. And so I've actually had to pitch a proposal that says, officially, we need to mandate they're all there, that they all have a unique identifier, that they're more accessible and easily laid out, like they should be on Web 2.0 as well, and accessible to both the people in the club and outside of the club. It should be transparent, in my opinion. So I'm working on that. I'm trying to form like a historian role within the club because it's needed. There needs to be accountability through transparency.
What's the level of buy-in to this stuff?
Makes...
Oh, sorry, dude.
Yo, Finn. Sorry, Rebel, what did you say?
No, no, you've been waiting for a while. This is your show, dude.
No, it's fine. Like, I just wanted to get Finn to chime in on this. He's been chilling there.
Oh, he's up. All cool. Quiet.
He's probably, you know what? I'll bet you 90% of them, like, he's out there editing. He's not even here. Yeah.
I will. You want to know something cool?
Mm-hmm.
I got my Pixel Buds in through Bluetooth. And I was listening to the space, and when you brought me up as a speaker, usually, you know, it kicks you to speakerphone. I'm chatting through my Pixel Buds. I think Twitter fixed it.
Oh, shit. All right.
As far as the governance stuff, as somebody that doesn't hold a punk, I mean, I have like my angel, Galactic Angel, and obviously I have more space toads than any human probably should. But I don't have a punk, so this kind of interests me. But I kind of see where you're coming from as far as like you start splitting that pie up too much and like any staking rewards. Like, I assume nobody's going to do that because they think they're going to like make, you know, money on the staking rewards. You're doing it to be a part of something, to be meta in the DAO's DAO, and to have a little bit of a say. And eventually, if it continues on enough and all the volume from these other chains starts coming over to Terra, eventually, you know, you could start getting people like me, our own punk. So I like that.
Yeah, the staking rewards are not like there to generate interest to people, like for people to come into the thing and stake punks. It's more like the idea is that you were a member of the DAO, you are a member of the DAO, therefore DAO profits should be delegated down all the way to you as well, like trickle-down theory, right? So I actually ran the numbers, like Luart, for example, that rewards are being vested over 9 months, I think, or something like that. So I just kind of went with a one-year simple to simplify the numbers. Basically, if the Luart tokens were to be distributed per punk over the course of 1 year, you at the current price of 4 cents, you would end up with like less than $100 worth of Luart token, right? It's more the principle of having that trickle down of if the DAO profits, then you profit. The more the DAO profits, the more you profit.
And it's also a function of supply too, right? Like as a punk holder, by staking and removing it from the circulating supply, you are also effectively raising well, you're reducing the supply and you're raising the floor price, or at least having an influence on it, which I think we all saw happen as soon as staking kind of turned on.
Right. And that's a big thing too. Did you have other things to talk about there about the Galactic DAO? Because you were like really excited, Rebel.
Yeah, so we're working on these nebulas. Like there's the finance, marketing, NFT and education nebulas, which are all sort of little clusters of five people, and we're sort of trying to push forward what we're actually going to do with, well, certainly as a member of the finance nebula, we're trying to push forward what the investments that we're going to go for, or how we're going to put our Luna to work. And we've got some UST sitting in Anchor Earn, which is nice. We've got a big stack just sitting in a wallet, and we've got tons of Luna just sitting in a wallet. So we need to drive this forward and actually put that to work. So we're going to have to go back to the DAO
for another vote to like get authority to do stuff with it. So hopefully that will go through, and then hopefully we can make some sensible investment decisions.
So what is your limitation right now as like a financial nebula, right? I know you have the ability to act like as a nebula, and then as long as the Galactic Council on top of you approves it, you don't need a whole DAO-wide vote. So what can you do within that model?
At the moment, we're nothing. What we've sort of decided, or what we've realized, is because we did come out of the DGen box investment that we were in.
Right.
And then as part of that proposal, which I drafted, I said, come out of the DGen box and bring the funds back to Terra and then put them into Anchor Earn. And then we got the funds back to Terra, and then there was a sort of discussion within that maybe we need to go back to the DAO to clarify what we can and can't do. And we're like, no, just put the UST in Earn, please, just put it in, and then we'll go back to the DAO. And like, let's just chill.
Mm.
We're going to go back to the DAO and say, like, so we're essentially, in my head, my proposal is going to be to do with Finance Nebula want their own multi-sig wallet, where a lot of the funds from the main DAO wallet are going to get deposited into. We'll have levels of oversight with maybe like 5 out of 8 people needing to sign transactions, and that'll be a mixture of ambassadors and Finance Nebula. And then because the money or the tokens are coming from the main DAO wallet, it will be, and we are sort of going to be in post for say 6 months, it will be easy to see, ideally what I would like in the Finance Nebula wallet, I'll just say these numbers for argument's sake, it won't necessarily be these numbers, but imagine we get 4,000 Luna and 400,000 UST. Really clean numbers. No other funds will come into that wallet for 6 months. So it'll be so easy to see at the end of our 6 month period, that's what we started with. What have we got at the end? What is our sort of ROI? There will obviously be lots of other funds coming in, like royalties and staking rewards coming into the main DAO wallet. And as far as I'm concerned, that should not be coming into our wallet. That'll be used for the different nebulas. And
right, okay. And so maybe. So let me say it back to you before I get lost. But essentially, the way it's going to work is, we're going to have like the mother wallet, which will be the DAO wallet. And then underneath it, it'll be like sub wallets. All of these are multi-sig. So the mother wallet will say, hey, for the coming 6 months, the Financial Nebula gets a budget of $500,000. Then the NFT Nebula gets a budget of, let's say, 50,000 to go out and buy historical NFTs. Then the Education Nebula gets a budget of whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So those are your budgets for the coming 6 months, let's say, right? And then that passes through as a bigger galactic DAO vote. Then in the case of Financial Nebula, then what you do with that $500,000 is more or less up to you in terms of how you deploy it for like generating yield on it. But then when it comes to selling it, you need a bigger DAO approval?
No. This is not set in stone. This is in my head. This is the way I would like to do it, because I think it makes more sense rather than the Finance Nebula controlling the sort of them. I love that, the mother wallet, like you said. So somehow we control the mother wallet and then other nebulas come to us. I mean, Finance Nebula is no more powerful than any other nebula. They may well sort of have more funds to control because, in a sense, that's their raison d'etre, is to grow the DAO wallet. But, I mean, if the Education Nebula need funds, who am I to have any say other than just being a regular member of the DAO to say yes or no? I think it could... Yeah, I just think the nebulas are all on an equal footing. So personally, right. I would like to see each nebula, with their own separate wallet, with their own funds in their wallet, which they then manage based on what they've asked the DAO or suggest to the greater DAO they want to do. So for example, say we have $500,000 worth of assets in the Finance Nebula wallet. We can't then just go, right, let's go full DGen and just go for these 200% APR pools. Like, absolutely not. We're going to put proposals to the DAO. Say, we want these $500,000 worth of assets, and we will do things like B Luna, Luna LP, ST Luna, Luna LP, Prism Farm with our Luna. We will put the proposal. We will never sell Luna.
So with our, no, that's where I was going with it. Like you will have the freedom to act as long as you're acting within in-kind assets, right? So like Luna, X Luna, and then ST Luna and B Luna are in-kind assets, right? They're just different versions of Luna. Mm. So maybe P Luna and Y Luna are not so much, right? But C Luna, sure, right? So you define them and you say, hey, going back and forth between these, we are free to operate. Because what it does is it does not open us up to the price exposure of Luna beyond like one or two, beyond actually like 7%, which is the compounding return of staked Luna versus not staked Luna, right? So
exactly, yeah.
So then you're free to do those moves. And then same thing with UST. So you can move between UST, Anchor UST, then Whale UST, and all the other UST variations, because they're all just differences of UST and compounding UST, right?
100. That's the way I'm thinking of it. And then, like, okay, for example, okay, if we were in like an LP on Astroport, and then we're generating Astro tokens, we can, right, then that's how we're going to get hold of other tokens. If you look at Apollo DAO, I mean, and what they have done,
right?
I just think it's absolutely fascinating and amazing. Essentially, using assets to lock up in other DApps to then generate like massive Astro lock drop rewards, massive Mars lock drop rewards, Kinetic lock drop rewards. I mean, this is stuff the Galactic DAO can be doing. Okay, we've missed out on those ones, but there will be other projects coming forward where we can say, all right, well, we're getting 20% in Anchor. We can lock up some of this for a year, or maybe even six months if that's our term.
It's not even that we've missed out, right? You still have Pylon pools coming on board, right? Like things that are amazing, like Rango Exchange are coming on, doing a launch pool. Even Void is doing a launch pool, right? So those are still like stable UST opportunities that you're like, you're drop depositing a UST, you're only giving up future returns in return for those tokens, right? So that plays right into the whole thing where you want to farm the crap out of the Terra ecosystem with the UST that's DAO owned, but like, not necessarily to farm and dump, but in order to get a governance seat on these different councils that are being put in, or these different protocols that are coming on board to Terra.
100%. I mean, so for example, one that I think is super important for the Galactic DAO is Prism tokens.
Right.
Because A, I think they've got an amazing sort of value capture mechanism. And B, because that then gives us a seat at the Prism governance, which is really important because the Galactic Validator, the Galactic DAO Validator, is a Prism approved validator. We need to ensure that we are continuing to cooperate with Prism so that we can stay. I mean, that's like a lot of Luna that over time will be delegated to the Galactic DAO from Prism. So we need to ensure that we are an active participant in Prism protocol.
Right, right. And then that's kind of where you got to be careful, right? Like, so within your arcs, you should be able to do that. So like if you have P Luna and Y Luna split from your normal Luna, right? As long as you hold the two and then you can do whatever you want to do with your Y Luna, but then the principle, like what the amount of Y Luna that you refracted holds on. And then you can undo that strategy. So you take your Y Luna, your P Luna, then combine it back into normal Luna, right? You've never opened up to the price action between Y Luna and P Luna. So 100%. Things like that, you need to be careful regarding, like, think out like what price action risk you're opening up to, because that's that anytime you open up to like the movement in price of a token, you should be getting a full DAO vote, I believe, right?
So what you're saying, if we refract Luna, we should be getting a vote for that?
No, but if you were to like say, hey, we just want to go all into Y Luna, so you'll refract Selfie Luna, that part would require a full vote, right?
Yeah, well, because obviously if you did it, you'd be going all into P Luna. So, I mean, let's be real.
you just want to pamp. Yeah, 100%. Dewey, that is a brilliant idea, though. You're talking yourself into a job in the governance Nebula. Dude, like, the votes will be in the bag. Because that will, as we accrue governance tokens, that is going to become, it will come to the fore. And there will need to be specialists in protocol governance across Terra.
I guess it makes sense, because like all I do is read governance forums. Sure. But I don't have time, man.
Okay.
I'm feeding all of our spaces audio to the Dystope AI and the PS Labs AI, and I should have some pretty good strategies coming out soon. So keep an eye out for that.
Real?
That'll be mind blowing.
Okay, how's that gonna work? You gotta say more than that. And
I don't want to drop any more alpha. Just know that the technology is here and AI is real.
Okay, so actually, on that note, that reminds me. I was actually thinking about, I don't know if Nebula is going to allow actively managed clusters right off the bat, or if they're going to allow them at all, right? But that opens up a really interesting opportunity where people like me who are just like, who specialize in one type of research, right? For example, me, it's governance, right? I just read governance forums. But like, what that does is like, I can then go and open up a cluster in Nebula. Let's call it an ETF. That's what it is, right? So I can go do an actively managed ETF on the Nebula protocol. And then I can say, hey, this is actively managed by me and plus Edwin, let's say, because him and I do this, right? So it can be like, hey, our thesis is driven off of what we read in the governance forums and governance forums only. We exclude any Twitter hype and whatnot. So then we are building an ETF of tokens and weighting them appropriately on how I feel, or we feel, I guess. Their governance forums have activity. Their governance forums have proposals coming in and out. They have voting being done, right? So then that opens you up to like these interesting things where other people can do the research for you. All you have to do is put your money into an ETF. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's so much coming out now that I feel like I'm drowning in Terra. There's just so much going on.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. I wish we could hire another intern, Edwin and I, to get more exposure to like I'm at the max extent of my bandwidth in terms of how many protocols I can cover in their governance forums. So like, if we can get one more intern, right? And then that's how it is.
I mean, I can mint you an intern over on one planet.
Maybe that's what it is. We pay interns and intern NFTs for now.
I'm just saying, the more interns we mint, the more interns we can send you to do the shitty work you don't want to do.
What, Finn, can you tell us what is the plan for the fees that you're generating from this mint?
I mean, besides like ramen and shit posting and more interns, or there's a whole DAO that we've set up actually back when the Apollo multi-sig was like in beta, because some of our interns are Apollo interns. We got to test that out. So we've been using it and like have the DAO structure set up. So now that was basically the next stage. I don't want to take over your space for the intern FT mint, which is now live on one planet. The more funding, the more minting that happens, the more funds go into that DAO, which will then allow us to do more stuff like teach more interns how to code, get more community mods out there, everything that, you know, Intern Cap has been known for and has done on, you know, our own dime. Now can be done on your dime.
Cool. And even better. Listen, it can be done on my 6942. So I got one.
That's what I'm saying. And we've already seen a natural progression of different sub clubs forming. You'll notice some of the interns have the marketing proposal meme on their wall. If you have one of those, you're part of the marketing firm. And there's a thread on my page that shows this in action. If you're in the Angel Protocol Telegram, this was so beautiful. Borsch got a message from somebody inquiring about some marketing. He says, hey, I'll pass you on to our marketing specialist. Sends them to me. doesn't tell me or nothing. Like, it's just a joke. Like, we send people to other people because it's funny, you know? So I get them and I'm like, well, shit, I'm the head of marketing. So I start like engaging with them and they're like, do you have an identity issue? And I'm like, well, I do actually. Some mornings I wake up and I don't know if I want to be a cat or a dog or a puffin. And I think at that point they knew I was kind of trolling, but then I hit them with the marketing proposal meme and another job well done. So we've got the AA Club, Alcoholics Anonymous, if your intern has a bottle of whiskey on the desk. We have the AV Club, if you got a guitar. We have the Gym Club, if you got a sword, the LARP. Yeah, all sorts of fun stuff. So definitely check it out. I think it's live for 8 more days. So
what's the one with the suppository on it? That's the DAO I'm in. Or the...
Oh, that's the doctor, intern doctor.
Okay, I'm in the intern doctor club.
That's going to come in handy.
Okay. You know,
I'll tell you, yeah,
interns are like prone to health issues, you know, surviving on ramen only.
We are not the law, the healthiest creatures. That is true.
Anyway, I put the tweet. I learned this just this morning, actually. You can post tweets onto your Twitter space. That's totally cool, right?
Yeah, they've been updating all sorts of stuff. Good for them getting that Elon money and finally making some positive changes. We can use our Pixel Buds on Spaces now. I don't know if I sound any better. I'll know when I edit this in 3 days. But yeah, good on you, Twitter. Good job.
Right? There's an edit feature on the roadmap now.
They're going to edit me right out of a job, and I will appreciate it. Edit me right into retirement, baby. Let's go.
No, man, you got to see it right first time. So is there any governance that you want to tell us about? I'm going to have to drop out shortly, but what have you been reading about this week?
The big one is Pylon and Glow merger, right? So yeah, Edwin was telling me this is not technically the first merger in Terra, because One Planet did a merger with someone beforehand, but it is. But that's NFT and this is DeFi, so that you can split them up into two categories like that. But it is a big merger. For sure.
So do you want to speak on that a little
bit? Something interesting, if you go to glow.xyz, right above the section there where it shows the Island Boys, you'll see like a scrolly thing, and you'll see Terra Spaces in there as a podcaster. Oh, now, yeah? There's a bunch of other names in there, and I'll be like totally real with y'all. I have no idea how that got there. I have no idea what it means. They were a sponsor of ours for like 2 months, I think. Right. So I don't know if that's why they put it up there or if they have something they're planning. But yeah, like, I don't know shit about it. So I just noticed we were up there. I think somebody messaged me and they're like, hey, you're on the Glow Creators page. I was like, really? No shit. Me and the Island Boys. Let's go.
Nice. I love the Island Boys, man. They just got some good melodies. Anyway, so this proposal is, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the finer details of it. But essentially, Glow Yield is going to get rolled up into the bigger protocol, Pylon protocol, right? And all of their current products and future pipeline products as well are just going to get put into the same umbrella, essentially. And the two teams will kind of merge into one bigger team.
That's interesting too, because like Glow has a few products. I haven't like used any of them. I just know because, like I said, they were a sponsor, but like they have the lotto thing and then they have the creator thing. And then they have like some savings account thing. I don't know like how much of it's actually live and working now. Like I said, I haven't really messed with it, but that will be interesting to see how Pylon can incorporate some of those things and what parts of their smart contracts they'll end up using versus, you know, what just kind of gets tossed to the open source bin or whatever.
Right. So I don't know how that token merge is going to work, but there is going to be a token merge as well, because Glow has their own token. Pylon has the mine token, right? So there will be something there too. But it makes sense. Like, this merger legit just makes sense. I don't know the chemistry of the two teams or the composition even.
Honestly, like, I don't care about all that. If they can take both of those tokens and mash them together and make a token that's worth like at least a quarter, I'll be happy.
That's good shit.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I like it because they're both like in the same playground, right? Like, so Glow is just like, they're both yield redirection. That's what they do. They do that really well. and they do it in their own unique ways, but they redirect yield, that 20% that you earn on your UST. So it's like, it just makes sense. That's all I'm going to say.
And I should clarify, I don't want to do our sponsors dirty like that, but their lottery thing, it says on their page, and again, I haven't used it, but it says it's a no loss lottery that doubles as your savings account. So basically you put your UST in there and you get your interest, but then you also get a shot at winning the lottery every week. I don't know. I would like to see a space with them and Pylon discussing like what they're doing. I think that would be excellent.
Rebel, are we hosting this? We can host this.
Yeah, man. That would be a cool one.
If you don't, OC will. Somebody'll do it.
Someone's right. Gonna step up. Well, that's it. Yeah, a double header. I mean, normally OC does like one protocol at a time, but yeah, man.
Right. See, this is classic intern delegation at work. I just delegated this to y'all. Y'all delegate to Dr. Doscoin over at OC. He'll delegate it to like somebody else. It's great.
Whoever the intern is at TTV.
Yeah. We'll see it come up on a TTTV episode in like 2 weeks.
Eventually somebody does the work. All right.
But yeah, I'm just looking at that scroll bar on Glow Creators right now, and I can see Finn or Terra Spaces are in the same scroll bar as the Island Boys. So come on, you've already made it.
Mama, I've made it. Mama, look at me. Mama, I've made it. Hell yeah. Right. I don't know what I made, but I made it.
Yeah. Dan, what's up with you, my friend? What's on your mind there? You've been quiet for a minute.
Nothing really, man. I'm just soaking it all in.
Yeah.
The busy weekend for me.
Have you, Dan, got any thing you would like to raise regarding this fractionalized in inverted commas punk anything,
bro? Dan is there like pulling his hair out over the tax mess that you guys are building.
Oh, this 100%, this punk is, this fractionalized punk is definitely sailing in international waters. There's no tax liability here, surely.
No, wait a minute. Dude, that is a big tax mess. You're right, Finn.
I didn't even think about that. Pirate punks. You want your money? Yeah. Come get it. Pirate punks. Coming soon.
There you go.
Watch people be shuffling money through Void Protocol.
Watch Finn never be seen again. Y'all have to find somebody else to record your spaces. Maybe that they let me record it from federal prison. That'd be nice of them.
Yo, these countries that like these island countries that are tourist hotspots during the COVID shutdowns, where they were offering like special, what do you call it? Special rates for people to come over there, spend a couple of months, and then you would get like really high quality internet. And you'd just be like, you know, sitting on a beach resort doing your work for like your 9 to 5 and then go chill out on the beach in the evening. I was like, damn, that's the best way to live COVID life. So I think Finn's going to be ending up on that route soon. You'll just see him sipping mojitos and recording spaces soon.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything else to add to that. The fractionalized thing, I think it's a really cool idea. I'm excited to just to see how it goes. I mean, you know, we have the safety net of sort of like at least all of us knowing each other virtually. But I think we'll learn a lot.
Are you down for TDX, Dan?
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not.
Okay.
I got a 1 year old here and no childcare right now, so got to figure that out first. But
100%. Are you up? Yeah. Are you up near Washington D.C.?
I'm in New York, so I'm in New York City. So
right.
If anybody comes out to NFT NYC, you know that'll be just down the block for me, pretty close.
Dude,
by.
There's going to be a Galactic Punk delegation there, man. Yeah, I'm not going to make it, but I think a lot of the team, if not the whole team, are going to be there. So
yeah,
could be a good one.
Looking forward to that. Sure.
It's good to see more crypto-friendly things happening in the most crypto-friendly state of the union. Sidnor had their hand up. You got something?
Oh, hold on. Now you got me distracted.
Why
is New York Sorry. The most crypto-friendly state in the union? Like, isn't it Wyoming? Like, Senator Lumitz is out there fighting everybody else off. I mean...
Yeah, no, that was sarcasm. I'm sorry.
There's a great deal of sarcasm. Okay. I can't act the shit.
When I don't know people, I interpret things super literally, so my bad. Okay, so my question out of left field noob question, because I mind, like, I'm slowly it's like setting in, and I am just wondering, like, you know, with this increasing purchase of Bitcoin, like I appreciate exactly what it's supposed to do for the security or stability of the entire ecosystem. Like, this is why I'm considering investing in Terra. But my question is, like, what impact short term and long term is it going to have on the value of the Luna token?
So the way I understand it is that it kind of works in tandem with Luna as it is right now. So, like, the seigniorage arbitrage that is set up right now for the way the supply of UST contracts and expands versus the supply of Luna to stabilize the peg of UST, it's going to be 100% exactly how it has been until now, right? The proposal that's going to integrate Bitcoin into this is only going to do it in the way so that the Bitcoin reserve gets activated if there is a depeg scenario happening, which will mean, like, the current proposal on the governance forum right now reads it as a 98 cent as the DPEG point. So if UST is trading 2 cents below PEG, you can now not only do the same thing with Luna, where you can take one UST and then withdraw $1 worth of Luna, but as well, you can take one UST, which you bought at 98 cents, but then now withdraw also 98 cents worth of Bitcoin. So if BTC, if then Terra goes UST, sorry, goes below that 98 cent mark ever, then it is profitable for you to also conduct the arbitrage with not only Luna, but also with Bitcoin as well. So anything from, like, 97.9 cents of is the profit point for breaking even with Bitcoin UST arbitrage. And then with Avalanche coming in, I think the Avalanche point is going to be 99 cents. I could be wrong. I haven't read the governance proposal on this. This is just a thing I heard Do Kwon mention in one of the spaces. So that's nothing in writing just yet. And then as for the purchase of the underlying tokens, the collateral tokens, Bitcoin currently is being purchased up to $3 billion with the current reserves at hand with LFG, the Luna Foundation Guard. And then there is a discussion happening if we should bring back the seigniorage fees that we had built into UST Luna pair, because we shut them off because the public wallet for Luna, the DAO, and then was, like, way too rich. So we were like, all right, there's enough money coming in, we can just shut these fees off. But now the idea is to bring that back and use that as an increment purchaser of Bitcoin. And then that's kind of how you get to that very publicized $10 billion worth of BTC purchase, right? So it's already sitting at $2.5 billion worth of Bitcoin bought. We have another $500 million to go. And then it'll be a very incremental, slow increase. And then keep in mind, so when you arbitrage UST for Bitcoin, you are depositing the UST instead of burning the UST when you're doing it with Luna. So on the return, once you've recovered from the peg, the vault is in profit because it takes $1 worth of Bitcoin to print one or to withdraw then one UST, which is now at $1, not at 98 cents. So the pool, once it's recovered from its DPEG scenario, the pool now has a 2% profit once all the funds have been collected back in the BTC reserve. So I hope I covered most of that there for you, Sidnor.
Well, it's funny because from a rational accounting perspective, it makes perfect sense. It's like, hey, this is just a sense of security, and so we don't expect it to really impact things. But from a psychological perspective, I keep thinking, well, it started as an algorithmic stable coin, like the inherent before the Bitcoin. The idea was that the system itself is what makes it valuable, and it will start to like sustain itself and then reinvest in itself and then grow in value. And as you bring another valuable coin in, from like a psychology perspective or psychological perspective, I just question what that will do. Because like hypothetically, if the idea is to convey a sense of stability and security, I would imagine it would also kind of slow down any additional market pressure to like drive the price of Luna up, or down. Like I would think it literally would stabilize things from a psychological perspective, and you'd see less volatility, but that also means slower growth, right? Like, is that crazy to think?
Yeah, like I don't know, because I'm like so deep into it, and I can wrap my head around it, so I can't like, you know, like relate to you on that perspective, if you will. But like the way the mechanism works, any printing, any new demand for UST will still automatically at that same pace translate into new demand for Luna, as it always has been, right? So Luna is still the stabilizing mechanism, right? It's just like, I guess maybe because we might need to do more marketing or more education work in making that distinction. So maybe that point does hold, but like, I just don't have that perspective is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the one thing is I'm trying to figure out, does the Bitcoin from an outsider perspective, does it seem to become the new like reserve of value? So I would just see some kind of natural growth of Luna based on how much you're buying up. Or does it just add to the already growing value of Luna, so it just becomes that much more growth? Or does it stabilize everything and we just go, okay, well, there's just like sense of confidence that the volatility is gone, so we're not going to be irrational and buy and try to go crazy, you know, with words are just escaping me right now. I'll have to try to remember what I was trying to say.
Well, just before Dowie comes back on that, Sidner, I'm going to have to drop out just now. Thank you for being here, everyone. Good to see there's a few more punks have just jumped in. Account and Tommy Turtles there. So, pleasure, folks. I will catch you next week. See you later.
Yeah, bye. For sure. Later, dude. Yeah, we'll just wrap this up on this thought there, Sidner. The whole idea of Bitcoin right now, the whole narrative behind it is that it is a reserve asset. It is Bitcoin in its current form is not good for transactions, right? Like day-to-day money. There is the Lightning Network coming in, but that still is exposure to the Bitcoin price exposure, not to the UST price exposure, which is just one US dollar, right? So if you're purchasing, if your checkings account is fluctuating with the value of 10% every month minimum, right, and then like you're talking flash crashes of 50% every once a couple of years, right, it doesn't make sense to be transacting in a volatile asset like that, until of course everything gets denominated into BTC if we end up going down that route. But UST is just US dollars, right? It's just a representation of that. So there, the technology fills gaps. That's how I look at this whole thing. Like the technology will just fill the gaps as it needs to. But you can just have UST on the Lightning Network just as well, right? And then all Luna has to do is just conduct that arbitrage, conduct the seigniorage as it always has been doing, right? Everything doesn't need to be on the Luna blockchain, and nor should it be, because then you're just centralizing again. But as these bridges are becoming more and more reliable and more efficient, right? You can now use UST beyond just Terra, which is like one of the things that's being pushed forward so aggressively, is right, get UST in as many hands as we can. And then that drives to that underlying mechanism where every time there's demand for UST, it directly translates into demand for Luna, because you need to burn Luna to make more UST. That seigniorage fees is just like a small percentage of fee that's going to be taken off the transaction to then buy a little bit more Bitcoin or maybe whatever asset we use to collateralize with in the future. Does that add up?
Yes, yeah, it does. And I'm getting ready to I'm walking into work anyway, so right. I appreciate it. I'm gonna let that stew for a minute.
All right. We can end it on that note. Thanks everyone for showing up. It's been a pleasure. Y'all have a good evening or a good day or good afternoon or good morning even.
Later. Thanks for hosting, man. Take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Interactive Punk Podcast hosted by Rebel DeFi and Tao, recorded on Saturday, April 16th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin, I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute, reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics. Stretching out the distance, for instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business. Betting on the difference, ingesting all the research. Sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now, I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of, embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.